Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I want to start our study this morning from Genesis chapter 2. And everybody standing as we read from God's word. Let everybody stand in honor of the word of Lord. Genesis chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1 to 4. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. When they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Please take your seats. Now, I want to take a step further in our study of Genesis chapter 1. I started this teaching on, I think it was on a Tuesday, and I didn't really know that I would still be talking about Genesis chapter 1 right now. But the more that we continue to look into the study, the Lord began to bring out more light. He continued to give us light and understanding. And the reason why I brought us to this scripture is because I wanted to us to consider, I just want to avoid verse 2, 3, because when I read verse 2 and 3, some things are calling out to me, but if I go there, all right? So you read verse 3, you find that the scripture says, put up verse 3, just to give you some direction. Say, God bless the seventh day and sanctified it. First things first, the word sanctify means separation, all right? The word sanctify means it is mine. God keeps it for himself. So God is what we call the Sabbath. So when God blessed the seventh day, is what I'm pointing out here is that it's a principle that every time you receive God's blessing, God is keeping something. You are taking the testimonies, but God is taking you. I said God gives you the blessings and the testimonies. But you see, the person that God blessed, the principle says, whatever he blesses, he must sanctify. Which means that when God speaks over you by prophecy, there is a part of you he will claim. And that part of you that he claims becomes the foundation and the bedrock for even keeping the testimony and the blessings he has put in your life. If you don't understand this principle, what you will find is that you keep getting blessed, you keep getting the goodness of God. There's always a lot of contention. And what I'm showing you here are the principles of how the supernatural realm operates. That whenever the Lord gives you a word of assurance, you must find that part of yourself that God has now required for himself. Are we together? Is that hard? All right. Go back to verse 3. Because that in it he had rested from all his work in which God created and what? And what? Now, created and made may be slightly different. They are related, but they are slightly different. So I'll leave that to you to investigate, because I'm not going to get caught up in a web of Greek and Hebrew words, but verse 4. Verse 4 is my area of interest. These are the generations of what? The word I'm interested in is the word generation. And when you look at the word generation, you might be confused because of what we perceive the word or the term to mean. But let me tell you from scripture what the word generation means. It means to produce. Please put it down. The word generation means to produce. It means to create. You cannot lay claim to a generation that does not come out of something. So, and Adam begat. Are you with me? Produce. To create. There is something of the same nature, character, bloodline for you to lay claim to a generation. When Jesus was being crucified, there was a prophetic declaration. Who shall declare his generation? So when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't rise from the dead only to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rose from the dead to start a new generation. That's why the scripture says that he is not ashamed to call us his brothers. He is our God, but he is our brother. Come on, are you here now? Now some of you may find that difficult to believe, but it's in the scripture. The scripture says he is not ashamed. We look frail, we look weak, we look battered and wasted. But when Jesus looks at you, say, hello, my sister, how are you doing? He say, please, Jesus, don't call me sister. Please, I think I'll beg you. Don't call me sister. You are my God, you are my father. I say, say you are from Nigeria. You say, I know my people. I know my people. You'll be surprised when you get your job, speak to you in Pidgin English. You will die in heaven and he will resurrect you again because you won't see it coming. You also have fun, my guy. You made it to, over you try, that place, they show you strong things. Yeah, that place, who is Jesus? They said, let me be Jesus. Say, please, are you sure I'm in heaven or am I dreaming? Say, now I move this one. The market will come out far. Wait till they wear this one. Say, hey, where's Pastor Gwenga? I'm telling you, don't want to miss it for anything. Like the shock. Like, you know God can do all things, but the shock that is not ashamed to call you brethren. That if the environment you had to live and grow up in, you guys were in Mushi and Jesus will come and speak the same language to you. Some people will literally pass out. I remember I wait this one, so this I don't need to do this. One, they follow after just die like that. I wake up. The moment, and you see, you got to be careful about putting God in a tight box, because that box is your own, not his own. He doesn't keep boxes. They don't have box rooms. He is not afraid to call you mama, his sister. The word generation. There is also something in that scripture, in that definition that interests me. You know, to beget. The word generation means to beget or to give birth. Now put up verse 4, let's read again. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. When what? What did God create first? So the earth is a child of the heavens. This earth is a child of the heavens. That is why thy will be done in heaven, on earth, as it is done in heaven. The papers must be signed there. That thing would have started existing a long time before it materializes here. The breakthrough of Daniel would have been released 21 days earlier. And Daniel will still be here. Shadekaba. Shadekaba, Shadekaba. The day you got it was not the day God answered. God created it created the universe in this way so that no matter what happens on earth, the scripture says the dark places of the earth are the habitation of cruelty in the book of Psalms. That means in any area of the earth where there is no light, there's no gospel, where the light of the gospel has not got into, or where people deliberately shut out the gospel. He said, in those areas, we have what? It will be the habitation of cruelty. You will see men doing all kinds of things against their fellow men, against their fellow women. And you say, are these people human beings? Yes, because the gospel is not there. That's why your forefathers, all of you that were here in this service and those online, your forefathers at some time went to one abalist and said, Miki Dama. Yes. That's why God, you guys do not remember the name of that man today, but he's in your family. That wicked man. Huh? Your great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather was a warlock. So you are the solution and God's strategy for redemption for that family name. Say amen. Amen. I don't even want to ask God what my forefathers were doing. I know they were all singing. They committed crimes against humanity and against the Lord. So I don't want to know. Well, just make sure you are in heaven. And if you are not in heaven, I don't want to meet you ever. Because we are not family. The word generation means a race. A race of the same kind. When you see them, you can tell that these people are from the same race. They are ethnically bound. This verse 4 is very important in what I'm going to be sharing with you briefly, because if you don't understand how the spiritual realm is the mother of the earth, you will be looking at how to get to secure your treasures on earth while everything you need is in the heavens. And that's why Jesus said to us, when you pray in this manner. You say, Our Father, which art... There's one pastor that said, God does not live in heaven. I say, you are right. What's the current address? Because the last time I checked, he was there. But since you say he's no more there, that means you have an updated information. But the man has not told us since then. Well, so for now, I know what he's saying, though. I understand it. Except that there are some truths you should not overstretch. So when you understand the concept of generation from scripture, you now understand that like we always beget like. If you say you are a member of a family, you must show certain traits such that when people look at you, they can tell that, this person is from here. Unconsciously, you are not even trying to be like anybody. You just talk. They say, I remember, many years ago, it's a particular church. Whenever the members meet each other, maybe at the marketplace or at a function or somewhere, you just hear, Hallelujah. Yeah, Hallelujah. Once you hear Hallelujah, they are our members. You cannot say, you cannot repeat it because you are not our member. Everybody shouts Hallelujah, but for them, Hallelujah is good morning. Hallelujah is good evening. Hallelujah is good night. You go into some circles, you hear, are you new? In a particular church, the slogan for that year will be the greeting for 1 year. What church am I talking about? Winners, eh? The slogan for that year, the theme of that year, maybe we should start doing that. The year of our rest, amen. That's it. This is the year of my rest. Or you just point to me and say, this is the year of your rest. If the person doesn't attend that verse, they cannot respond. When you say something consistently for a year, you will see something. When you understand the concept of the heavens being the forebear of the earth, then you will begin to place a lot of emphasis and detail on learning the spiritual realm. Just imagine that you grew up and you went to school and you spent 6 years primary school, 6 years secondary school, 5 years university, 1 year plus ASU strike, 1 year NYSE, then you had maybe almost 2 years master's, 3 years PhD. Look at the length of time that you are having to learn the earth. Look at the amount of time that even man thinks you need to learn the matters that pertain to the earth. So why do you think you can know everything about the spiritual realm in 1 year? You have to give your heart and your mind to these things so that you can see your progress. And the thing about learning for God is that the more you learn, the Bible says that the wise will hear and increase in learning. So the reward for your effort is that you will grow in wisdom. And there are two power blocks that you must identify with if you want to know the power dimension of God. You must know the wisdom of God, and you must know the power of God. Unfortunately, some folks know the wisdom of God, then they insult those who know the power. Then when they are sick, nobody to heal them. Then some know the power of God, and they despise those who only know the wisdom. And then when you now have a problem that requires wisdom, your pride will not let you because you are anointed, but you are dying. You must remember that there is nothing that happens on this earth that didn't start from God's heart. There is nothing that happens on this earth or in your life or in your family. There is nothing happening now that at some time, at some point in the realm of the spirit, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears. But the tears did not grow immediately. It took a while. While you are going to your friend's place and to your family and say, ah, we have invested in that business. Very soon we should expect that the contract to be signed. Wherever there's an expectation, if you have a major expectation, that is the time you need to raise the altar of prayer. Because Satan specializes in crushing the expectation of men. And that's why when you are trusting God for something major, it may not be the best time to tell everybody. Yeah. May not be the best time. Except the person is someone that holds your trust and can pray with you and can join their faith with you. If the person can say, hey, thank God, though. Hey, don't tell the person. All those feel good people, that's all they are, feel good. So don't bother, don't waste your time. Every time you have a major expectation, what do? You raise the altar of what? Of prayer. There is no man that has had an encounter with the supernatural realm and has not come back with the knowledge that I need to pray. Because for those of us in the material realm, prayer becomes the building blocks for which power is given to us. And that is why many cannot pay the price. Because when you want to enter into the realm of power, there is a type of prayer you must pray. And that prayer is called fervent praying. When you decide that from today I will begin to pray fervent praying, one of the things you will realize is that you cannot pray with everybody again. That you can no longer pray with everybody. Because to pray in that manner, you must have a revelation. Praying in this format does not necessarily translate to shouting when you pray. But the prayer is coming from your innermost belly. When you see some of our fathers, if you pray with some of our fathers or they want to pray for you, if you don't shut your eyes, they will get upset at you. Because For many of our parents, they don't even pray if they don't go on their knees. Are we not right? Some of our parents, the ones that know the Bible more than, still have more reverence for God than we do. Is it compulsory to go on your knees? No. Is it an acceptable sacrifice? Yes. Jesus wanted to pray. The Bible says, God to Gethsemane, and he went on his knees. Jesus, oh. It's like, you know who Jesus is? You know Jesus? Eh? He wanted to talk to his father. He didn't do it standing. There are postures that when you see that someone like Jesus has taken, bro, just copy and paste. The revelation will come later, but copy and paste. Once in a while, when you want to seek the Lord, go on your knees. If you need to get a pillow that you can put on the floor, bend your knees. And let the prayer begin to come out from your innermost belly. Don't pray from here. Don't pray from your head. Pray from your belly. Some of our fathers in those days, you know, when I used to attend some of our old time churches, they just have a tambourine. And they want to pray for you. But before they pray, they will take the tambourine and shake it. Then you begin to hear, Mama, you not know this song. Koma son to le she o a to biju o. Koma son to le she o o lorun igbala. If that song was being sung in the church, you will see the drummer, the local drummer. Koma son to le she o a to biju o. They will just ignore you. And you just see the anchor. You see, you will not know how backsliding you are until you find yourself in the midst of those people. These are prophets. These are apostles. These are men of God. Some of them are mothers. You see the way they begin to... They may be very gentle. They are very calm. The moment they hear the call to worship, they just change. They don't need your keyboard. When I have my tambourine, you are playing. Once they do that and they are satisfied, they will not tell you, kneel down, let me pray for you. When you enter the fervent mode, you will begin to see similar men like yourself. When you go for meetings, you go for conferences, you come to church, you will now say, it's like this lady is like me. She's not praying like that to impress you. She's not singing like that. The alignment of the strings is not her problem. There's another drum beating inside her head that she's responding to. The scripture said, and Elijah prayed. He prayed fervently. And this is Elijah's prayer. Fervently. You come in and you pick his phone. His eyes are shut. Doesn't know. If you want to steal from him, just wait till when he's praying. He will not know. They told Daniel, say, the decree has been passed. Daniel went and opened the windows facing Jerusalem. That was your holy temple. And he went on his knees. You see the attitude. Then you saw Jesus came on the scene. He 5 minutes away from the cross. Before I grow, let me pray. I need your grace. If it's possible, yet let this cross. When he prayed for 3 hours, see, it took him 3 hours to know that God still wanted him to go. You prayed for 5 minutes, you say God did not talk. That's Jesus. Because when your heart is overwhelmed, it will take you more time. That's how I read my Bible. I don't read it like many people just want to look for revelation. I'm not looking for it. I'm looking for principles. I'm looking for postures. I'm looking for the character and the principle of how God does these things. He prayed for 1 hour, came to the disciples. Can't you stay with me? Can't you pray with me for 1 hour? No matter how anointed you are, you will have seasons of your life, you will need the prayer of other people. So when you find, when you think you are so spiritual and you don't need any man, remember, Jesus asked for prayer support. Just remember. So I rest my case here. You cannot be so strong that you will not need men. And if everywhere you go, everybody is the problem, then you are the problem. Need to be fervent. If you want to master the spirit realm, learn fervency. Because when you begin to pray, you attract spirits close to you. Spirits come and they observe you. Is she playing or is she praying? Look at you. They watch you. I will not go until you bless me. Open to me the gates of righteousness so that I may walk in. MJ, I'm praying. Do you know when that prayer will be over? I will call you back, could be next week. It's not that you will be praying all the time, but the burden that will rest upon you, you may not be able to pick that phone. Because you pick it, the connection is gone. All you have to do to what you are doing currently is shift the attitude and you start seeing results. You are praying, no doubt. If you are not ready to give him all the time, go and do other things. When you now know that you are ready to pray, come. Because prayer is not just you coming to say you want to pray. There is a call to prayer. There is a summoning that your spirit must hear. That God is the one saying, come. This is so important when we are considering the matter of dominion. Because I looked through all the folks we saw in the scriptures, those who were very passive, the result was very clear. Look at Daniel. Look at Elijah. Look at Paul. Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. He was talking about a church. So what was Paul's prayer life? Do you know that for many of us, if we find ourselves in very uncomfortable situations, we are going through a challenge, we are maybe a major financial challenge, you are trusting God for the school fee of your children and you really don't know what to do. You are even considering taking a loan from those loan sharks. Or loan, I think shark is not even the word again. Loan crocodiles. You know, there is a point you get to just like, this is the only option you have. Have you ever taken a loan from those guys before? Wave your hands to the glory of God if you have taken. No, it's not a pro. I'm not. If don't lie, you. Well, I have never had the opportunity, and the only reason why I have not had the opportunity is because I saw the way they were always calling me. Hello, is this Pastor? They want to call. You want me to help you collect your money back? You are calling my name anyhow. Pastor, is this Mr. Bing? Hello, who is this? So I just changed my voice. How did you get this number? You know, many times when we ask for these loans, we don't even know how we are going to pay back. That's the honest truth. We are hoping that some miracle will just happen and we'll be all right. But usually it doesn't work that way. So you need to go to another one to collect, to settle this one until the miracle comes. When I look at the diligence that many of us put into becoming debtors, the diligence, I would rather use that to develop my faith for miracles. The spiritual realm has many laws. And one of those laws is what we refer to as the law of sacrifice. Which means the law of sacrifice states that for anything to be valid in the spiritual realm, something has to be on the altar. When you have a request for which you are not entitled for, when you are trying to initiate a process for which the spirit realm says no to you, if you are trying to lay your hands on something that is beyond your reach, the spiritual realm says there must be a sacrifice. Not just God, the spiritual realm. Whether you're on God's side or Satan. There are different levels of sacrifices. But the two strongest: sexual sacrifices, sacrifices established or strengthened through sex, sexual intercourse. Second, blood sacrifice. Both of these can be very difficult to break, depending on the terms of the covenant. If you are intimate with someone who is possessed, you didn't sleep with the person, you slept with the demon. The person is just the host. Yeah. In the scriptures, there are some people that were referred to in the Old Testament as temple prostitutes. When you worship other gods like Baal and Ashtoreth, and that's why God hated those countries. They won't take anything from you, and you're always looking for free enjoyment. So you just go there, they tell you. And when you see the way their dressings were described, exactly the way many young ladies dress today, those temple prostitutes. They will just tell you, okay, there's no problem. We don't have any conditions. Stay here for 3 days, then go into that room. And when you see the Mexican babe that is waiting there, glory be to God, amen. They know I've been suffering for 3 days. They just want me to relax. You are not here to relax, so. The moment you cross that line, a spirit guide will be assigned to you. A spirit will begin to host your body. You will become a host to a spirit. But the spirit may be quiet and may not say a word to you for years. That is the thing about the spiritual realm. They know how to be quiet. And when a pastor is telling you, oh, this is going on in your life, you will say no. Because these spirits understand that you are a noisemaker. The best way to deal with a noisemaker is don't talk. Through sexual intercourse and through blood covenants. Even if you went under the mango tree to slit your wrist and promise Vivian, I will marry you, I will not marry that person, I will love you, I will not love that person. And he said it was just a joke of the century. The moment, because the nature of blood is that it has to flow. The moment it flows or there is contact with another blood, something happens in the spiritual realm. Something illegal has been triggered. And I know someone very dear to me who did something like that. She didn't marry the person eventually. She married someone else. And that man died within 1 year. And left her a baby. The spiritual realm is extremely real and can be unforgiving when you cross certain lines. When the Lord says that do not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever, it was not an advice. Because the heavenly realm, whatever happens in the heavenly realm, will give birth to something in the material realm. So when you decide not to be to live a sinful life, you are doing it from the position of knowledge. You know something. It's not you trying not to. And if you are a brother that specializes in trying to hoodwink many sisters at once. Because you have the power of utterance and words. You have a way you just talk and everybody's falling at your feet. Even though you don't have money. Let me tell you. There is nothing that happens that is not either a seed or a fruit. There's nothing happening in your life now that is not what? Either a seed or a fruit. What you are doing, the fruit, the harvest is usually larger or bigger than the... So you will have a lot to battle with, for which prayer may not be enough. I prayed for a brother. Was having so many problems. And I said to him, I said, there's a lady. And I described the lady. I said, it's a lady like this, like this. I said, go and look for that lady. He said, ah. He said, that was many years ago. I said, okay, have a nice day. Pack my Bible. I'm going home. I told you what to do. When you wanted to meet her, you did not know her address. Today we have Facebook, TikTok, and some of you make yourself so unfindable. You are not doing anybody a favor, I'm telling you. You are so unfindable. No DP. Status hidden. Pictures private. Profile only. You are the only one that can accept a friend on Instagram. No, you are very important. They have to apply. You will now say, okay, I accept you as my friend. Or I deny you. Meanwhile, you are trusting God for a job. You don't have a husband. You have no money. Only you. No car. No dollars. No naira. No surfers. And your WhatsApp status has no picture. Are you a ghost? You can't. You. Or you use my wife's picture as your DP. I appeal to you in the name of Jesus. Don't confuse the spiritual realm. Don't confuse the spiritual realm. Go and look. After the service, go downstairs. Take a good picture. I appeal to you in the name of our Lord. Stop confusing the spiritual. So I will not send a message to you one day. And you know, sometimes, and I do those things. Sometimes I just send a message. And then I realize, oh boy, you know. You have sent it. Yesterday, while we were battling with the network, I basically sent a message on the group. Some people saw it, even though they will not talk. I sent a message on the group. I was chatting with Pastor David because we were trying to fix the network. He's in, you know, far away, my God, where I'm here. And we were trying to fix it. I was saying to him, I can hear you. He couldn't hear me, I can hear you. I just sent it to the whole group. When I asked, I now called him. I said, David, see what I've done. I said, I'm under pressure. They say, Pastor, calm down. It's a spiritual attack. Just the same way you are visible on social media and all, you must be visible in the spiritual realm. And one of the ways to be visible in the spiritual realm is through your loud utterance. Do you know what it means for the candle of a person to be lit when there's a flame burning on your candle? What it means is that this is a spiritual man that is aware. This means that this is a man that the spirit alights over. It means that this particular life is an altar before God. There are some people who have made investment in prayer to the point that even if you live with them and you are not really praying, their grace will cover you. But if you heard what I just said and you are planning to get married and you are now looking for someone who has prayed very well and so you will not, there's nothing to praise God about. You want a wife that can pray. You now be time. Say, you know, say you be prayer warrior. You'll be psychina. As sadiq as you are. It's good to have those friends. Because the truth of the matter is that even for my network, you know, talking to Pastor Desmond, Pastor Kola, a few of us, when we talk, sometimes I'm asking them, how do I resolve this? for me to be asking you, if you are not aware, listen to the type of messages I preach. You will know that in the spiritual and my department, we are in the warrior department. Where I was assigned, we wear uniform. That's why I teach the type of things I teach. I don't teach how to balance account. We are not among those that will judge the whole world. Say, let all men give account. I'm not part of them. In my department, I teach spiritual warfare. I teach from a prophetic perspective. But sometimes I may be at a loss as to how to handle a matter. I might ask Pastor Tokwe, this thing. I may ask Pastor Desmond, how they do this thing? I'll ask Pastor Kola. I have some of my friends that I can easily call and get their counsel. Because sometimes your answer is not with God, it's with another man. So if you are not the type of person that relates, you will suffer. Your tongues may be very loud, but that will be the degree of your suffering. Because some things pertain to God, while others pertain to man. Very important. When God made man, let me round up. We'll come back for second service. I'm here in the scripture, and I perceive that's where God wants us to go. Maybe in second service. Say, shall the lawful captive, I'm hearing it in my head. Shall the lawful captive be what? Be delivered. So we know where the second service is going. Put yourself on a project. What I have observed is that if you do not make up your mind to build this type of life, you will never get there. There was a time I used to complain. I was that there's no time. I'm always tired. There's no time. I'm working so hard. The Lord just missed out. Go and check your screen time. You know, the Lord knows what is in that iPhone. If you go to settings, do this. Check. See, this is this is how much you have been online. Watching dancing Salomes. The thing about your eyes is that as it is in heaven, so is on earth. You see, do you know that there are certain gestures, steps that you didn't learn? You just saw it and you suddenly know how to do it. In the spiritual realm, whatever you can see is yours. So when you pray, you are praying till you get to the point where God shows you something. Say, Abraham, look to the sky. As many stars that you can count. And Abraham started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The wife could have come out that night and say, they have caught this man finally. 15, 1,000, 1,001, 1,015, 100,000, 101. That's a vigil. Vigil has started. You know? 15,000. 15,000. What did I say? 15,001. 15, after you take Bairo, as he's counting it, you'll be writing it. 1,000, 20,000, 201,000, 500,000. Sorry, 6 a.m. This vigil, when I'm going to say, he said, keep counting. He said, I cannot count. Aha! That's where I wanted to get you to. You cannot count. They're uncountable. But you saw them. That's your inheritance. What you saw in that story is a summary. So when I am praying because I am waiting for something to be introduced to me. The moment God shows me a picture, what he's telling that this is it. And that picture should automatically change the direction of that prayer. You are praying and you are trusting God. Hey, my house rent. God, don't put your daughter to shame. God, don't put your daughter to shame. And while you are praying, the Lord showed you, you just saw a flash of you stepping out of the airport, coming down from the plane. And you saw, welcome to the Maldives. And you smile. God, don't catch all my enemies. Oh, you just saw yourself coming out of the international airport. You notice you are in the U.S. The devil will tell you it's your mind. God will tell you your picture is your future. Amen. You see, this kind of experience I just described is only possible within the confines of fervent prayer. If you pray, then you quickly call your mom. Mommy, I just want to check on you. Hope you are fine. I'll call you back and pray. Daddy, yes, I just spoke to mommy too. Pastor, how are you? I've not heard your voice. You know what's going to be happening? Because prayer sets in motion spiritual activities. Prayer sets in motion spiritual activities. So the moment you start praying, the Holy Spirit knows that a signal has been sent in the spiritual realm. Angels begin to move to sight. You thought nothing's happening. The moment you say, Father, we come in the name of Jesus, a signal has been sent. It's like an email. Pam, high priority. Only for them to get to sight. That boy that is receiving now sent a message. And they only send their message at the wrong time. Those useless boys. Ah, this song. We will be many. Is that why you are here? You and who is going to be many? You that we are still trying to deliver. if we give the word one more of you, there will be a problem. You need to call for deliverance first before you and who will be many. And I'm telling you, Satan is so smart too. Nobody will call you. Your boss in the office will not call you. Nobody will send you an email. And you know, you don't normally see your emails. That time, the moment you say, Father, he can't. You just see the email. Just flash at the top of your screen. Say, treat now. Treat now. That your husband that is always losing his temper. I don't care if you are praying. I don't care. When I call you, pick. Yes, men are like that. Yes. Yeah. You gotta know. After 10 years, you start getting better. After 10 years of being married, you start getting better. So, but you have your own share. Don't worry. Call him. Where are you? Okay, you are about to leave the office. I want to pray. So when you come in, use your key to open the door. Because I'll be in the room. Don't bother knocking. Do you have your key? Say no, okay. I'll leave the key outside. When you get to the gate, find your way in. I'm praying. Don't come here and start shouting. I've told you I'm praying. Help yourself in. Don't come here and ask what's for dinner. I've told you I'm praying. When I'm done, you eat. It sounds like a joke, but I'm telling you. You must make allowance for every area where possible contention will come from. Because what happens is that the moment you begin to press into God, and Satan sees that he cannot stop you, the angels move to location, and they begin to bring the divine deliveries as you are praying. And the Spirit of God is speaking to you. The only way Satan will stop you is to bring human attack. It will bring a human attack. Because you can bind everything on earth, you cannot bind your fellow human beings. That power is not given to you. God gave Adam power over everything except his fellow man. So when your husband comes, your husband is, anybody who hears what your husband is saying will say he is right. But that is not the way God is seeing it. As far as God is concerned, that man is wrong. But the man will go and call another fellow man to come and intervene. That man also does not have a prayer life. That will say, Madam, there's a time for everything. But the Bible says, the man has a gouda, a bottle of gouda, he will tell you, the Bible says, The husband is the head. It's only when you are hungry that you remember that you are the head of the house. Ole. Lazy drone. I double dare you, man. Oh, man, if you are listening to me, enter the kitchen for 3 days. If you do not feed us with poison, I'm owing you 5,000 naira. I will not even give you the benefit of 50,000. It's only 5,000 I will give you. Because the truth of the matter is, we have to give it to the women, really. You can't. They are not perfect. Hello. Second service, I'll come and attack you people. But it takes a lot, sincerely. It takes a lot to have to wake up the same way you wake up, but they have to make sure the children are ready, they cook, they prepare for their own work, prepare for you. You just had your bath and there was tea and bread and fried scrambled eggs. You see why you are not working in authority? No, seriously. So, we need to learn these things and we can be better. Please, let me tell, if the person beside you is a brother, tell them you can be better. Let me tell you, when the world sees the way we celebrate our women, how we love them, we'll be preaching a better message. When they know that among these people, they are trained to love each other, be respectful towards each other. Because let me tell you, before you get married, love is, oh, I miss you, I love you, I want you, I did. But in marriage, love has only one name. It's called respect. Respect means that I can see on your face that you are tired. Huh? If you still have to go into the kitchen for me, I must respect that. I not tell you. So, out of everything in this house, this is what you could prepare. What have you been doing since morning? Praying for you. What have I been doing since morning? Is the wife telling the man now? I've been praying for you. Don't ask me that kind of question. I've been praying for you. And if that doesn't sound like work, come and try it. Some of you don't have the right answers and you make people shame you for nothing. Go to the man and ask him, before I got married to you, where were you? Ask him. This was where you are. Praise God. We thank God for it. Now I came into your life. Where are you now? 2 years. If I am such a bad influence, let's do some analysis. Let's do some stock taking. When I came into your life, this happened. Now you are earning in dollars. Look at this. Show respect now. And the same thing, if you have a wife that is always ungrateful and never appreciates what you do, tell her to sit down. Give her a cup of tea. They have the meeting. The same meeting, have it with her. But our love for each other must be such that the world will want to be like us. Not we waiting for the next dance step. That is kingdom. That is community. If your husband has upset you, you have the right to go to him and say, I didn't like what you did. You shouldn't always be at the receiving end. And you say, I didn't know. Oh, I'm so sorry. Don't just say sorry from the top of your nose. Just say it like you mean it. Amen. And if you go to the market, buy Ankara what's that? Ibo, there's one Ibo dress. George, buy George and bring. And come and give Tina and say, Tina, I saw this here. I thought you would like it. And if your mouth is so heavy, you cannot beg. It's okay. You just go online, order for some things. Let your gift be your sorry. You too, your behavior must be all right too. Don't come here and be doing anyhow. Say, check your help, pastor. Say, no, you too, you must be okay. Because authority is always established in a harmonious environment. where there is no genuine love, where there is no mutual respect, even if you are anointed, you will not be able to fully deploy it. Sometimes what you need while you are praying is for your wife to hold your hands and say, I'm standing with you. That's all. There was a time I was so sick. One at the former house before where we currently live. And that morning, I don't know if you remember, I just called her and said, I'm not getting better. I told her. I was already a pastor. I told her, I said, I'm not getting better. You know, I was so weak. I had all kind of weird feelings. I just said, please come and pray for me. Because at this point, my own faith is only telling me one thing. Go to the hospital. That's the only thing. And I know if I step into the hospital, I will be admitted. So I told her. So she came, she sat by my side and laid her hands on this holy head. This holy head, that the holy ororo, the anointing. Don't touch my head. Omo, you are sick. We better calm down. You are sick. I calmed down. She held my hand, laid down, and prayed for me. Before God and man. I'm not lying. Before God and man. I've never had a healing that was so quick. I'm telling you. But you see, there are a few principles there. I submitted to be ministered to. I didn't just say, come and pray for me. I needed it. It's just like that man who went to the house of the judge and kept banging the door. I need you. I'm not leaving this place. Pastor George, come out. Keep calling. Pastor, I'm calling you. Pick your call, John. Send a message. Pastor, you're avoiding me, Abby. Pastor, you're avoiding me, Abby. Pastor, 7 missed calls. When I see that, I say, hey, Oluwa. Yvonne. Pastor, you don't always speak my call. It's not like that. I was eating. Keep knocking. Because when you enter the realm of fervent prayer, sometimes the doors you are beckoning to, there are certain doors that you beckon to where you will be resisted. Because they need to be sure that what you are asking for, you want it. So the door will not move. But like that woman who beckoned to that judge, you have to keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask, A-S, seek. So after asking, then you ask again. You ask, you repeat the process. Keep asking. And one day they will say, this sister has been here. Open the door. Just because it's your right, doesn't mean the spiritual realm will not check to see if you are ready. Because even Jesus, when he rose from the grave and went to heaven, he beckoned to the gates to open. And a voice spoke to him. Say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. That was the voice of Jesus. That was the transaction that happened as Jesus resurrected and was going back to heaven. And a voice spoke. The angel at the gate spoke. Say, who are you? Is this King of glory? There's a King of glory in this place here already. There's someone here. Jesus didn't go back as the Son of Man. He went back as the King of glory. Hallelujah. Every time you pass a test, you are promoted. Every time. There's a blessing. There's a promotion. That's why you have to keep passing your test. That guy, Chike, that is always calling, is a test. You have to pass it to be promoted. And Jesus spoke to the gates and said, the Lord who is strong and mighty. The Lord who is mighty in battle. Why did he use that designation? Because he was just coming from hell. Where he took the keys. Where he took the keys of death. And where he brought Abraham from. He brought David from. The scripture said when he rose from the dead, that many of the dead saints rose with him. And people saw them walking on the streets of Jerusalem. So you just see a guy say, wow, my house has changed. Say, hey, who are you? Say, I'm Isaiah. Hey! What about you? Say, I'm Jeremiah. Say, you are copying my prophecy. I've seen you now. You know, you are dead. Say, no, we are alive. Jesus didn't resurrect alone. He resurrected with everyone who spoke about him. He resurrected with everyone from the book of Genesis up to that day. And he went to heaven with them. So when he said, lift up your heads, he wasn't the only one standing there. He had a battalion behind him. All of you are too much. Oh, let me check register. Hey. Ah. Where are people coming from? Now, so all of now just die like that. Ah. But the way he introduced himself, he didn't back down. Which means that there are certain doors, if you don't know your spiritual level, your spiritual level is what they need to hear to know if you can open this door. Not that you are praying, you are just praying and share. You must know your level of spiritual ranking and development where you can say to them, this is who I am in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I did not attain it by works. I attained it by the finished work of Christ. And I beckon to the blood of Jesus and I say, this door should open. If that is the door that is holding down every member of your family, they are not getting married, they are having mental illnesses, they are going through certain problems, and everybody is having similar. Say, hey, I beckon to this door. They say, who are you? Say, I'm the one forged in fire. I am the one that Jesus said, open this door. Therefore, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, release the gates. I need my sister out. I need Ayomide to come out. I need Fumi to come out. You begin to call their names. When they see that you know what you are doing and you are not checking, then the door will open. It takes a level of fervent praying, divine insistence, being able to insist and say, no, even this mountain shall be moved. That is how you begin to establish your authority and you begin to move mountains. And listen to me, souls are always involved. And for every door that you move, souls will come out. For every mountain that you move, souls will be given to you. And your influence begins to grow. And the scripture says, blessed is the king whose company, who has a large company, coming to meet him at the gate. When a king is coming from the battle, in those days, you will see the nation, they will come out to rejoice that they have won. So this will be many that you are singing. You are asking for spiritual warfare. Father, we thank you this morning. I will give you all the glory and will bless you. And we ask that, Lord, there will be a stirring in the hearts of men to begin to seek you, to begin to pray, to begin to yield their hearts to you. We are asking for the power to prevail in fervent praying, the power to intercede, the power to prevail and break through from level to level and dimension to dimension in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, you will raise among us a company of men who are able to seek you and to prevail. Hallelujah. For you said to your servant, you said your name will no longer be Jacob. He said, for you have wrestled with God and you have prevailed. Lord, we ask for the power to prevail over everyone, over every family, even over our little ones, the spirit of prayer that enables us to prevail, that every time we go on our knees to pray, we are coming back prevailing. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every prayer altar that is filled with ashes, that the power of God will come upon you and you will be revived. You will be revived. That you will now begin to find joy in the place of prayer. You begin to find joy in the place of seeking Him. Your altar will no more be filled with ashes. In the name of Jesus, I speak over every young child here that the Lord will begin to visit you the way He visited David. He will begin to visit you and give you a name that is better than 10 sons. He will begin to visit you and reveal Himself to you. That from your youth, you will grow to know the Lord. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Put your hands together and bless the Lord.